Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is another episode of the Beer Is Fundamental podcast, and we want to welcome you all to the Nay Beer Hood, where craft beer is the talk of the town. As usual, if you are listening to us for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the Nay Beer Hood, and we want you to have a good time. So hopefully you have a beer in your hand. If not, you need to go get you one. If this is not your first time listening to us, of course, you know the deal already. So we're going to have a good time. I know I'm going to have a good time because for the first time, I am not by myself. I do have Lady T next to me. What's going on, young lady?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Everyone's doing well. And you know how we get down at the Beer Is Fundamental podcast. The other good news is that we do have the masterminds behind the Fox and Admiral Brewing Company here with us, and we are going to speak with them in just a few minutes. Remember, if you want to reach us, you can reach us at 407-350-7909. Call in and leave us a message, and we'll play it on the next podcast. Again, that's 407-350-7909, and make sure you tell us what you're drinking. You can also follow us on Instagram at Beer Is Fundamental. You can get us on Facebook at Beer Is Fundamental. Remember, Twitter screwed us up somehow. Maybe they were drinking beforehand because they made it just Beer Fundamental. They forgot the is. Email us at bt@beerisfundamental.com, and you can also check out the website at beerisfundamental.com. Now, the Great American Beer Festival tickets go on sale tomorrow. If you haven't been and you love craft beer, you want to make sure you get out there. You really, really need to go. It is the craft beer mecca. The Great American Beer Festival is the premier U.S. beer festival and competition throughout this country. Each year, the GABF represents the largest collection of U.S. beer ever served in a public tasting event plus a private competition. The GABF brings together the brewers and diverse beers that make the U.S. the world's greatest brewing nation. We hoped to go again as Beer Is Fundamental. And we are simply waiting on our media passes through our parent company, Vibes and Vino. So, GABF, if you are listening to us, please send us our media passes. We are waiting to get our airline tickets and book our hotel because we really, really, really want to go. Now, as we promised, we are here with the masterminds, the owners, the brewers of the Fox and Admiral Brewing Company, Justin Hitu and Kyle Overstreet. What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. This is a pleasure for us. Now, guys, the Fox and Admiral is not your usual brewery name. It's a great moniker. What is behind that name besides beer?
besides getting drunk.
We had gone through several iterations before arriving at this particular moniker.
Iterations was like, that was a big word for you.
It was.
Are you trying to sound smart for the podcast?
I am. I'm really trying very hard.
All right.
So when we started off, we lived in the second floor of the building right up the street. And we said we were a little bit lazy and said, let's call it second floor brewing. And we did, but then that was very short-lived as we found that there were not one, but a few other breweries called Second Floor Brewing on
Untappd.
There's a lot of
second floor people brewing on the second floor.
So we said, no, let's not do that. And then we did Poor Decisions Brewing.
P-O-U-R. Because we're witty.
Because
we're funny people.
We have wordplay.
Yeah.
And
wordplay.
Because we do wordplay.
Yeah.
And then so then we did that for a little while, and John ended up not liking it because he said it was pejorative. So,
pejorative.
Yeah, a lot of big words tonight.
Right? I've never heard him talk like this.
Flexing my vocabulary this evening.
Yeah.
So, that lasted for a little bit. And then I said, you know what? We're the Fox and the Admiral. And I digress. Let me say what the Fox and Admiral is. So, Justin, as you know, you can't see him because you're in a podcast, but he has the silver hair at the ripe old age of 33.
32. I am not 33 yet. And I turned 33 in September.
A full head of silver hair.
Don't age
way.
Me. Not the just silver hair bit, thing is true, though. Hair. That is true.
And I said, you know what? You're kind of the silver fox, and I am the admiral for reasons not, we still don't know.
Yeah.
I like the ocean. I like boats and.
Yeah, the Admiral is one of those nicknames that just sort of got lost in drunken lore. We don't really remember why we call you that.
Whatever reason, it stuck. That's what I am.
Yeah, it's just gone. It's
so,
gone. But you're the Admiral.
I said, you know what? Let's just be Fox and Admiral Brewing Company. It sounds cool. It sounds sophisticated, even though we're not.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like an English
And ever since then, and like I said, now it's too late to change it. So this is what we are, and I think we like it. And,
Yeah, it kind of sounds like an English pub and sophisticated, and I'd like to take this time to just apologize to all the English pubs. Ever.
So Fox and Admiral isn't just a name we made up. It's who we are. It's him and me.
Yeah.
Now, you guys get together at certain times with the beer church. Explain the beer church to our listeners.
No, well, we don't need to explain the beer church to you.
Definitely.
Because you guys are members of beer church. But beer church... we live in Kissimmee, and in downtown Kissimmee, there's a bar called Vintage Vino, and it is fantastic. It is very good. I hear that you've mentioned it on this podcast before, and
that is
very proper. The guy that owns it, his name is John Sudet, and he's fantastic, in so much as the fact that he tolerates us getting drunk in his public establishment at least once a week. And so what happened was he used to have a craft beer night on Wednesdays, and he had a bartender, and we started out as customers, and... that bartender left, and he asked me to fill in for her while he found a replacement, and that ended up being about a year and a half. So I think he found his replacement in that year and a half, and I believe it was me. And we used to wear ties.
I was coming from work.
You were coming from work, and I was bartending at a nice place, so I wore a tie, you wore a tie, and there was somebody, I don't even, again, story lost to drunken lore, but somebody once said, you guys look like you're coming from church, and somebody else said something like, yeah, beer church, and it just sort of stood. It stood the test of time. Now it's officially called Beer Church, and, you know, we have congregants, and if you bring beer in from outside, we call it sacrament, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's still going on. This was, God, what is it?
Five years.
And Wednesday.
It's grown from John, myself, and Justin.
Just the three men getting drunk
just
together.
Just three men getting drunk till 1 a.m. And then slowly more people just started coming, and then, like I was saying, all the great good friends that I have now – I met here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have, the girl that I live with now, my girlfriend, her name is April, I met her at Beer Church. One of the people that was in Beer Church and is a member of the Beer Church congregation brought his now wife, then dating, his first date ended
first
in Beer
date
Church.
Ended here.
We both were in his wedding party, actually, just last June. July?
There's
June?
Been weddings, whatever. There's been babies.
Yeah, there's been children, there hasn't been any fist fights yet.
No, not
there's
yet.
There's been some throwing up, but not as
throwing
much as
up,
you
falling
would.
Over, glasses breaking.
Yeah, no, but that's nice. I mean, probably more vomiting than a normal church ceremony, I would think, unless your religion is hardcore. But and I'd like to also take this time to apologize to all religions. Beer church is not anything.
It has nothing to do with any religion whatsoever.
Yeah, we're not
whatsoever.
Trying to offend any religion whatsoever.
Now, you guys, of course, like all brewers, started off home brewing. How did you get into it?
Well, I have been into craft beer for many, many, many years before I met Justin. Justin was kind of the same, and I kind of said, the natural next step was just to kind of, why don't we make our own? And
Let me go ahead and stop you right there, because you're actually actively lying during a podcast. See, what's happening is... Your what is now your wife, which was then your girlfriend, bought you a beer making kit.
She did.
Yeah, that's what happened. And you,
I had expressed to her that I was interested in making beer. And for our first Valentine's together, she had bought me a.
Don't make this a romance story. This is not a rom com. I don't need that.
This brewery is the story of romance.
Oh,
of two men.
I don't need
of two men that met.
Well,
and
that's yep. Well, now that's out there. Thank you.
No, she had got me a kit, And it was a very basic kit, the most rudimentary of setups, if you will.
Yeah, it was like a 1 gallon.
It was two buckets. There was a fermenting bucket and a bottling bucket.
The complicated two bucket system.
The old two bucket system. And then we ended up getting a turkey fryer for the brewing kettle.
Yeah, it was
this thing.
As you can tell, it was very high-tech operation. High tech. And I wasn't there. We had just moved in together.
And
I hadn't moved in yet.
I was living there for about a week before you moved in, and yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go and test it out. I have this Irish red kit. It was an Irish red kit.
Yeah, it wasn't. An Irish
it ended up not being an Irish red. So I brewed it completely sober. I was like doing it, and I'm putting all the stuff in, I'm boiling the water, I'm doing it, adding fermentables. And I'm like, oh shit, I gotta cool it. So I was like, what do I do? We didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do
no
at the
ice,
time.
No buckets, no ice, no nothing like wort chiller, no
so
nothing.
So I was like, I'll put it in the fridge. So I took all my stuff out of the fridge, I took all the crates out of the fridge, and I stuck it in the fridge. And I'm like, this is gonna take a while. So I closed the fridge, and I'm like, I'll go over to Vintage, grab a beer or two.
Came to Vintage Vino. A lot of our stories end with Vintage
I came
Vino. Going
to Vintage Vino. I'm like, you know what? I'll grab a beer or two, I'll come back, and then it should be good. 1 a.m. rolls around. I'm wasted. Like,
very
I can
drunk.
Barely make it home. I'm stumbling almost to my bed. I'm like, oh, shit, the beer. And I go back, open the fridge, dump in the bucket, seal it up, no airlock, stick it in my
no
closet.
No airlock. Wild closet yeast. Wild closet yeast. Yeah. For 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand brewing at the time, so I didn't know what he was doing. And
3 weeks later, Dane came over. He's like, where's the airlock? I'm like, airlock?
Yeah, our friend Dane, who's also a Beer Church member, who also has been known to brew a beer or two, just came over and pointed out that he wasn't doing it right, and we were really scared of what he made. Mm-hmm. I was scared it was going to involve.
It was not an Irish red, but it had alcohol in it.
Yeah, so
for sure
we decided since he was the admiral and we weren't sure what he made, we called it the Blind Admiral, your first beer, mm-hmm. because we were scared to go blind drinking it. And it did not. It had alcohol in it, but it was not a beer.
Yeah.
It was a wild closet yeast juice.
It was something.
It was closet juice. It was closet juice.
It was moocha.
Yeah, it was moocha. It was moocha.
It was something.
But then, I was like, you obviously can't be trusted to do this on your own.
Yep.
So let's do this. Let's try one together. And the first beer we ever actually did was, again, Vintage Vino plays heavily into this, but they have a homebrewing competition called the Downtown Brewdown, sometimes once, sometimes twice a year. And the first beer we ever brewed together, we entered that in and got fourth. And we just sort of...
We've been doing it ever since?
We just sort of rolled with it ever since. We've obviously upgraded our equipment.
Now you brought out the Downtown Brewdown. Now, you guys have been kicking butt with that. How many times have you won?
Three.
Three
we've
times
placed
in a row.
First three times. We've placed second once and fourth a couple times.
Yeah. Three times... First in a row.
Yeah, in a row. This is the third one. The last one was the third time in a row we placed first.
I like placing first, but it's just one of my... placing first is good. I like the accolades it gets. We get our picture on the website. Yeah. It's kind of cool. But being there with the other just dudes that make beer, it's like one of the few nights like we can nerd out about beer alone in our house together. And, oh, what hops do you use? And, oh, what do you want to make this? And, oh, this temperature is at 120. And we can do that alone because we make beer together. But nobody else finds that interesting. Yeah.
It's the one time we actually get to talk shop with a bunch
of
other people.
But then you go to the Downtown Brewdown, and no matter what you place, you're in a group of men that make beer. And they're talking about it, and we're all nerds. It's just nerds in brewery t-shirts. Yep.
And we're enjoying everyone else's beer.
Yeah, and
we're
get
getting
to
a little
brew
drunk.
Other people's beer. It's fantastic.
We're getting the looks that's
first of all,
looks,
again, we're not getting a little.
We're getting a lot drunk.
Yeah.
But it's the looks on people's faces. the high that I get from the look on someone's face when they taste my beer and they love it and they ask me where I can purchase it.
It's fantastic. Yeah, just to have people come out and go, this is amazing. I would drink this over and name a beer brand. Yeah. And it's just, it's I don't know, it makes us do what we do, you know? It gives us hope.
Oh, wow. Now, you guys have a tap takeover coming up.
We do, yeah. September 30th.
Our first one.
Yeah, our first ever tap takeover. Well, we decided to stop being lazy and get off our asses and maybe do
so
it.
So we actually had to make beer.
We had to make more than one beer.
A lot of
beers
to make. Jeez.
But it's September 30th here at Vintage Vino, which is a Saturday.
Saturday.
I don't think it's a Saturday.
I'm taking one myself.
You might have wanted to take the day off after.
Yeah, I'm actually taking both probably because of the amount of
shit-facedness
that will happen.
Definitely. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, there's going to be some beers that we've never made before that actually have turned out Okay, one of the beers we brought tonight, the Skittles Imperial
Pale Ale. Imperial Pale Ale.
See, we made an Imperial Pale Ale recipe, and we added
2.5 pounds of Skittles.
Yeah, a lot of Skittles that we blended. And what that did was it ratcheted up the fermentables, so it actually came out somewhere around 12 and 12.5%.
Yeah.
So we decided to call the beer Fear the Rainbow.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be just one of the beers we're going to have between
hopefully make 4 or 5 bottle releases, and of course the 3 taps. The 3 taps will probably
be more than 4 or 5.
We'll see what we could do.
Yeah,
but the 3 taps will hopefully be some old favorites that people have really liked in the past.
Yeah.
Now this is a very good beer. I mean, you can really taste the Skittles in it.
What not a sponsor, by the way. I'd like to point out Skittles is not a sponsor.
Skittles is not sponsored. This.
Okay. Skittles is not a sponsor, but you can damn sure just taste it.
Yeah, yeah. Because Skittles are delicious.
Nestle, we don't want a phone call from that.
Yeah.
You do get the sweet and sour, and it does look like the color of like apple cider, but
yeah.
Have a nice body.
Yeah, it's one of our sleeper beers. You kind of look at it and you go, oh, that's gonna be a nice pale ale, and then it just sort of hits you. And our philosophy at Fox and Admiral, I don't think we've ever made a normal beer.
No, we've never just made a brown ale.
No, and it was one of those things because it just started in our weird, twisted, not normal brains where we were just like,
we even come up with names before the beers.
Yes, like, yeah. Sometimes we just sort of twist a recipe, and there's been days where we're like, oh, well, we'll do blank in a pale ale, and then he and I will ultimately go, well, that's not weird enough. You know, and then that's not a Fox and Admiral beer.
It doesn't have to be weird, but it's just...
They all turn out being something that... Because we started making beer because we couldn't find what we wanted to drink on the shelves, so we decided to make it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. The limits are our imagination, so what do we want that we can't find unless...
Sounds like reading Rainbow. I like that. The limits are your imagination.
Imagination.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Limits are your imagination.
So what's the overall vision for Fox and Admiral?
Well,
we have talked about this extensively, about where we think it could go and what it could be.
Well, we want to stay in Kissimmee because Kissimmee doesn't have a brewery, and we live in Kissimmee. And
I was born and raised in Kissimmee. I mean, Kissimmee is home to me. I've been here my whole life.
And it's one of those things where we don't have a brewery here, and it's one of those towns we think could use a brewery. And what I mean by that is if you make a good brewery – it's not just a place that makes beer. It's a place where people come together. It's a place where...
destination for
people. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things ever is pub is short for public house, and that's not a mistake. The town gathers there. Mm-hmm. And I think what replaces the pubs in modern America is the brewery. One of my favorite examples is Crooked Can.
Yes.
Crooked Can has an entire... community that surrounds it, and they have all these people that are loyal.
They've defined downtown Winter Garden
exactly, and
in
it's
a way
it's,
that no one.
If you have a good brewery that makes semi decent beer and has a space for everybody, and you know maybe has a couple beer names that are about Kissimmee, but it's just one of those things where it's one of those places that brings a community together. It gives it a little bit of pride. You can have and in turn, being the brewers and having a business here. You know, you can sort of shape the community. You can help out. You can, you know, do charity work.
Downtown Kissimmee a destination.
Exactly. Yeah, you can bring people into the town. I mean, I know, just speaking from Kyle and I and you guys as well, if there's a beer brewery that you've heard is very good, and I like to think most craft beer drinkers are like this, if you've heard of a good beer brewery, you travel there.
Even if it's a place you've never
heard of. I mean, I don't know about anybody. I don't know about anybody that's listening, but I've booked hotel rooms just to go drinking.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And it's just one of those things.
So I think Kissimmee is due for one of those. I mean, we love this town. And
it's our turn, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And you know, I definitely agree with that because, as you know, we go all around. Drink into different breweries simply because off of word of mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
This place has good beer. Where's the talent? I don't
people
know
that you
is.
Trust, we'll like beer church there. Members, will travel, and then you hear it from them, and then you go there and
absolutely.
You find out if they're right.
Harbor
absolutely.
Is a great example of that.
Yeah.
Who's heard of Safety Harbor,
but
Florida?
We went to Crooked Thumb
there, and their beer was
Crooked
great.
Crooked Thumb was so good.
Absolutely.
Safety Harbor, Florida. Who knows where that is?
That was hard to find.
GPS.
GPS knows where it is, but most people don't.
God bless Google Maps.
Yes.
for letting us get drunker easier.
Yeah.
That's God bless Google Maps for
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's great speaking with you guys. Thank you very much for allowing us to interview.
Thank you for having us on, man.
This has been great. This has been great. We don't want to let you get away without each episode we do a question of the week. So we don't want to let you get away without the question. Asking you
I
the
will
question.
Not be
of,
getting nude. Yeah. That's my only compunction.
I will, but tastefully.
Yeah.
Tastefulness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Here's the question of the
week. Some ostrich feathers.
Some flowers.
Some balloons, perhaps. Go ahead. I'm so
we
sorry.
We know, Rob.
Just one palm frond.
We've been to breweries and tap rooms that may have 30, 35 taps. Can a tap room have too many taps?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you want to go first or me first?
I'm going to say what I think.
You go ahead.
I don't think anybody personally. Well, no, it's the old saying, quality, not quantity. It's I could have 30 taps of our beer and maybe people only like 3 or 4 of them. But if I have 10 taps that are phenomenal, that people are lining up for, we talk about Angry Chair a lot. Angry Chair is the dream. It's such a small place. You're wearing a shirt right now.
Yeah, you are.
They're a small place. They don't distribute. You can't get their beer at Publix. You can't get their beer at a gas station.
Or a racetrack.
Or the racetrack. Yeah, exactly. Or anywhere, really. They only release at the brewery. And every time they have a beer release, they have lines out the door.
Absolutely. And they have
10 to 15 taps.
Maybe. And it's one of the and 3 of those are guest taps. I mean, it's one of those things where you want to focus on the work. Yeah. It's not how many beers can I make and put out. It's how many good beers can I give to these people. Mm-hmm. And any brewery that does anything else is, I don't know, they change their mind somewhere.
Like Florida,
because don't get me wrong, I think every brewery starts out, there's a lot in the media about talking about selling out, and there's a lot of media about, you know, AmBev is in Heineken or buying up craft beer breweries. But nobody ever started out like that, in my opinion. I think all breweries start out the same way we are.
Kind of like a wild-eyed dream.
Bring
beer to the people.
Yeah,
money comes into the picture.
Yeah.
But
I think if you walk into a tasting room and have 30 taps, I generally, in my experience, if I walk into a brewery and they have 30 taps and I read the tap list, I'm really only excited about 5 of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, 30 really taps, good, maybe 10. I would rather make 10. You know, kind of weird, off kilter. Does that say what I think it says? Beers, rather than have 30 and have 4 of them be styles of IPA,
brown ale, or 16 IPAs, beers that just say stout.
To me,
okay.
I will say
that literally just reads stout.
It's just one of those things. You want to be if you can't. I don't want to. This is calling people out, and by no means am I wanting to offend any brewer, because if you're making beer for a living, you're already living the dream, and I understand that. But if you can't put forward your vision in 10 beers, you shouldn't do it with 30.
Absolutely.
If you have 10 taps and you don't think that's enough,
and if you have,
go back to the
if you have 30 taps of amazing beers, then God bless you. You deserve all the money in the world.
Exactly. And on the other side of that, if you have 30 amazing beers that you want to share with the people, we'll drink them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, it goes back to sort of what we were saying before. You know, if you have those great beers that, I mean, that's absolutely amazing, again, Angry Chair, I've always said, sold to the devil.
Yeah,
he's made
something illegal is involved. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, and so
something illegal is involved.
It goes back to that. You got great beers, man. People are willing to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Saturday or whatever. Or in the case of one of our friends on a freaking Monday.
We've made many a trip to Tampa
just to go there. So thank you again for not just answering that question for us, but allowing us to sit down and chop it up with you as with great craft beer.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you want two other drunk men to come on, just call us.
Just drink.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what? We'll hold
you'll just hear the sounds of slurping in the background. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll hold you to that.
Absolutely.
We'll hold you to that. Okay, people. Again, we're doing something a little different today, and we're going to end our podcast right there. Make sure you give us a call. You can reach us again at 407-350-7909. You can get us on all of the social media at Beer is Fundamental, except for Twitter, Jesus Christ. But hopefully they'll get that straight one day, because Twitter is simply Beer Fundamental.
I just can I interrupt for a second and say we have a Facebook page?
Go ahead, do it.
Fox and Admiral Brewing Company on Facebook. Look us up. I post semi-regularly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also tasteful nudes.
Also tasteful nudes.
Yeah. No tasteful nudes.
You can actually see our cover photo is actually photos of us. You can actually see what we look like behind the microphone.
We show pictures of the process and stuff like that.
Yeah, we like to post about beers coming up, our ideas bouncing off. You can post beers that you would like to see, and maybe we'd even make one every now and again. So.
And you can RSVP for the Tap Takeover. Please do. September 30th at Vintage Vino one more time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we will be here at the Fox and Admiral Brewing Company Tap Takeover. Again, want to thank you for listening. Until the next episode, cheers.